youth in the evening, but now we're gonna have a church for the first time in the evening. So I think we're gonna really enjoy that. So I really want to encourage you guys on that. And then also we're gonna have two mission groups that's gonna visit us in Namibia. The one is from Paul. They are just gonna pass very quickly by here in Windhoek. They are going to visit our Swakop congregation. And then we've got guys from Gauteng, from Pretoria, the Blue Bull country, for those of you who are interested. They will be here in July. They're also going to visit us for a little bit more than a week. And those of you who know the mission teams, it's always a lot of young and excited people. So I'm looking forward to that. And if you, in your spare time, if you want to pray for them, usually when they come here, they do a lot of outreaches and connect with the school kids and they bless us in church. Their hearts are really to come and serve. So you can just pray for them. There's usually a lot of transport and logistics and, you know, the places where they stay. So in your quiet time, if you want to, you can just intercede for them. God will really bless them with all the arrangements they have to make. And yeah, it's May, guys. That means we are slowly but surely going towards the end of the year. Winter is almost here. I can feel it's getting a bit cold in the morning, but I don't think that's the reason why church is empty. I know it's for the holidays and things. We also miss the school kids a lot. I must say, they're happy young faces always sitting here. I must say, we miss them, but no offense to the older people. We also love you guys. So anyone older than 18 is older today, but it's great. It's great to have you here as well. Let's pray. Father God, it's wonderful to be in your house this morning, Father God. Thank you that we can be here, Lord God, that we really can come in liberty and peace to your house, Father God, and that we can feel welcome here, Father God, and that we know, Lord God, that we aren't really persecuted yet, Lord God, as so many of our brothers and sisters all around the world, Father, that we can really come and sit here with our families, Lord God, and just come and listen to your word, Lord God. Thank you that we can come to church, Father, that we can come and worship you, Father God, because you are worthy of our worship, Father God. And we want to ask, Father, that you'll minister this morning to us, Father God, and everything that we do in church, Father God, at Kiddies Church, everything, Father, that it will just point to Jesus Christ, Father God. We pray, Lord God, that you'll really speak to us right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, guys, so I really have got it in my heart. Okay, maybe I must, in 2 weeks' time, I will not be here. My wife is going to give birth to our little daughter. So that's something exciting. We still need a volunteer to preach that Sunday, but that's something I will sort out. Don't you worry about that. So that 14th, that weekend, I won't be here. And then afterwards, for a few days, I will be assisting my wife. For those of you who don't know us that well, we've got older boys who are twins as well. So I'm going to look after them for a few days while mama and baby are connecting a bit. So that, I think that weekend, it's the 15th or the 16th of May. I won't be here that Sunday, but I'm really looking forward to that, to really getting our first little daughter, and maybe it's the last, I don't know, we'll have to wait and see. But my dad told me, you know, I've got a sister, and he said from the start he could see that raising a boy and a girl are so much different. So for those of you who are parents, I'm sure you'll know it. I'm still looking forward to experience that. So I think I'm going to learn a lot as well. Now, last week we talked about worshiping God, and we said God is asking us, really, he's telling us to tabernacle with him, really to come into his presence. We said not that God can change, but we can change. And before that, the weekends, we talked about God's father heart, we talked about unconditional love. And this morning, it's one of those sermons, I don't want to call it a seeker sensitive or anything like that, because we don't do that, but it's something really exciting, and it's something I want you guys, especially that came to church this morning, that you should leave here and that you should feel blessed. Now, there's always a balance that we should preach. You know, last year we taught on things like eternal judgment and why does that happen, and how does the end times look and things like that. But this morning, I named the title of the sermon, God our Father is full of love and mercy. So this morning I really want you guys to plug in and to receive something, because sometimes our pictures of who God is can be really distorted, and we're going to look a bit at scripture and what scripture says about God and what God says about himself. Now, you will agree with me that we have relationships with a lot of people. You know, I've got a different relationship with my dad than I have with some of you, or that I have with the postman, or the person I work with, or something like that. And always when you have a relationship with someone, in your heart, you've got a picture of that person. Now, while I was preparing, I just thought of my father's brother. Now, my father's parents died when I was before I was born, so I didn't have a grandfather and grandmother on my father's side. But I had this one uncle, and he was really like a granddad to me. You know, they farmed in the south here in Namibia, and always when we went to the farm, he taught me how to shoot and all this, those things that boys really love. He gave me a ketty. So I think I don't know if there's a translation for that, you know. But I've got such a, now unfortunately he passed away a few years ago. But what when I think of him, I've got a picture of him and his wife and the food that they make, the things that we did when we were at the farm visiting. And it's such a sweet memories in my heart, you know. And it's so special, it's so dear to me. And the thing is that when we pray, when we worship, when we spend time with God, you know, sometimes during counseling or ministry or Foundation Free or things like that, you know, when I speak to people, I see that some people have such a distorted picture of who God our Father is. Now, as I said, we spoke about unconditional love and God's Father and things like that. And it's important that we know who God our Father is. So I'm really trusting God that all of us can have a bigger revelation of who our Father is. Because God isn't just our God, He's our Father. There's not a 20 steps or 10 things that we should do how to connect with God. He's our Father. He says it. And as I said last week, He chose us. So let's start off. I want to read to you from Exodus 34, verse 1 to 8. Moses made the new tablets. And the Lord said to Moses, cut 2 tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. So be ready in the morning and come up to the in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. And no man shall come up with you, and let no man be seen throughout all the mountain. Let neither flocks nor herds feed before the mountain. So he cut 2 tablets of stone like the first one. Then Moses rose early in the morning and went up Mount Sinai, and the Lord had commanded him. And he took in his hand the 2 tablets of stone. Now the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there. Now that must have been amazing. And proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, The Lord, God merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. And then Moses bowed down and he worshipped God. Now this is really significant. It's something, you know, God, there's so many things that we can see from that passage. God said that no animals or no people were to come close. That was to protect the people, because we know that no one can stand in God's presence. You know, that's you can't stand there. So already God is telling Moses what he must tell the people so to protect them. Now the important thing is just the fact that this Exodus 34 are existing is showing of God's mercy. You know, because what happened the first time, God and Moses also had a meeting up at the mountain. And then when Moses went down, you know, what did the people do? They became restless. And then they built a golden calf. And then I think Moses was very upset. He broke the tablets. He was very annoyed with the people and must have been really disappointed. And I think God must have been really disappointed. And the thing is, God had so much mercy towards the people, because, you know, when the Israelites stood at the Red Sea, they didn't believe God could do it. All the way throughout the desert, they were just, you know, scripture said they were stiff-necked people. They were moaning and yapping, and they were always didn't have food or this or that. But God always provided for them. You know, and then God, I want to read to you what was the first time that God and Moses stood on the mountain, what God told Moses. He said to him, that was the covenant that God wanted to make with the people. If you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my own possessions among all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Now, you know, God really wanted to bless the people. He wanted to bless the Israelites. He chose them. And what did they do? They just built a golden calf and things. And I think if God didn't have mercy, and he wasn't slow to anger, he must have said, right, this is the line you've messed up too many times. Let's pass on to, say, the Philistines or someone. Let's choose a new people and see if they will do things better than you. Because every time it just seems that the Jews couldn't get it right. But God didn't do it. He stuck with the people. He stuck with the commandment that he wanted to give them. And you all know what was that. It was really for their benefit and really to bless them. Now, we can see from that the people wasn't destroyed. So God is so, it says he's kind, he's slow to anger, he's abounding in mercy. And you know, if you go and search, if you do an eSword or one of those programs, a search, in the New James translation of the Bible, I think there's about 269 times that scripture is referring to mercy. You can find the word mercy. Now the thing is, most of that refers to God's heart. Now, and that's right throughout the Bible, and that's quite a lot of times. So God is really serious about who he is. And I want to read you, John Piper says it so beautifully. And I'm going to read a quote from him. So God condescends to us our devices and makes his mercy crystal clear. He piles phrase upon phrase to lay open his heart of love. Now you see, there's this one golden thread going right through the Bible, and it's God's love for us. You know, the way he really loves us. And that's why he says he's slow to anger. Now, I just want to put something in perspective, because there's also a part where it says, forgive iniquities, transgressions, and sin. And then just afterwards it says, on the other hand, he says, I will not clear the guilty. But we know all sinners are guilty. So how does it work that God says on the one side, he will forgive all people, and he loves them, and he's merciful. And on the other side, he says, I will not forgive the guilty. Now, if I went to search a bit on it and read a bit on it, and we can find the answer in Joel and Jonah. Both of these men quoted from Exodus 34. And it says in Joel 2, verse 12 to 13, it says, God says to the rebellious people, yet even now return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. And Joel goes on to encourage the people, return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and repents of evil. Repents of evil. Now the thing is, God wants to forgive us, but our hearts must be repentant. You know, God loves to forgive people who are repentant. You know those? And then Jonah did the same. He went to Nineveh. We all know the story of all the things that happened to him. He spoke to the people, and the people repented. Eh? But then obviously Jonah had a few issues, because he was a bit annoyed with God. But how can God be so loving towards this ungodly people? But God's heart for sinners and his children and people who aren't his children yet, he loves them all equally. He loves them so much. And here we can see from that if as Joel the prophet was really encouraging the people, if you repent, then God will forgive you immediately. And this is the thing that I've really got in my heart. We dealt with that in intercession on Tuesday morning. Is, you know, I asked the people, after you've sinned, you know, for how long does God stay angry with you? Or for how long don't you want to speak to God? For how long do you have in your heart there's something? Because that thing again, after you've sinned, do you run towards God or do you run away from God? And the important thing is, if you do it in the natural, say for instance, you don't know, Dad has told you so many times, don't play with the soccer ball at home, don't do it. You know, and then you and your brothers and friends, you play there, and then something happens, and then the window got broken. Now what do? You can either hope that God, your dad doesn't discover it, which is null, you know, Dad will see it sometime. Or you can go to Dad and tell him, Father, I'm really sorry for what we've done, we've been wrong, and then you repent in your best voice and you ask your father to forgive you. And you know, I think the chances are very good if you ever you go with to your dad with an open heart and you really ask him to forgive you because you have done wrong, he will forgive you, and he'll say something hopefully like, okay my son, let's go and fix it. But that must be the attitude of your heart. You know, if someone comes to you and he says to you, you know what, I accidentally just bumped into your car and there's a small scratch, but the person's attitude is really something like, yeah, you shouldn't have been there in my way, then you're going to be really annoyed with the guy. But if that person really comes to you and tell you, oh man, listen, I've got a migraine this morning and I just really didn't see you and I'm really sorry about what happened, and you go on with that, then you tell that, if you can see that person is really meaning what he or she is saying, then you'll forgive him or her. Then you'll say, it's okay, just go to the doctor and I pray that God can help you. And if you're really a believing Christian, you'll lay hands on him and pray that the migraine will go away. Nah. Amen. Okay. So it's really, we can see from there, God wants to forgive us, but our hearts should be right. The condition of our hearts should really be right. Now, there's four things that we can see from this passage if we broke it up into smaller parts. And the first one is a God merciful and gracious. God is merciful and gracious. Now, this is not what someone says about God. This is what God said about himself. And then the second one, God is slow to anger. Now, here we must all just pause for a moment. If we want to be more Christ-like, more like Christ or God, and God says he's slow to anger, who of you are fast to anger? Now, don't put up your hands, please. But the thing is, sometimes we are so quick to anger. You know, just last night, I told someone this morning, my dad looked after our boys the afternoon, and one of the boys must have ate something not really going well with his system, and when he got home, he was a bit warm and really not feeling well. And bedtime, you know, I just gave him some syrup or something that he can feel a bit better, and then everything came out over the bedding and stuff, and I want to go sleep because I have to preach this morning, and Maritza is tired because she's 36 weeks pregnant, and now there's a mess. Everything, the baby, the boys, the clothes, the floor, it's a mess and it stinks, and all of your parents know exactly. Now, the first thing, you want to be angry, you know, quick to anger. Anyone who can relate with that. You know, it does happen. There's the moms, the real moms, Abigail and you guys. That has happened sometimes. But God says he's slow to anger. And we must be so thankful for that. Because if God wasn't slow to anger, we would have been in big trouble. Because most of us sin not once or twice a day, but probably more. You see? And if God had to punish us immediately after we sinned, church would have been a lot more empty. You agree? Okay. The third one, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. God is steadfast in his love towards us. He doesn't change his mind. You know, 260 million years ago when the Bible was written, and that is how old the universe are. Are you awake this morning? That isn't how old the universe or the Bible are. It's maybe 6,000 years or something like that. But you know, since the beginning up to the day, God hadn't changed his heart towards us. He loves us every day in the same way. You know, you can see from the Israelites to the church today, God didn't change the Bible. God didn't change his mind. He still loves us unconditionally. His father heart is still the same. And that's really something that we can go and, if we just go and read these things, then we can learn so much, and we know we've still got to grow so much. Keeping steadfast love for thousands. You know, God doesn't just love the Israelites. He loves the Philistines. He loves everyone. You know, from the east to the west, north to the south, every person in this continent and this earth, God loves so much. He knows all of us by name. You know, and that is something that sometimes I think about it, and then I know we've got relationship with a few people, but God has got, he knows about everyone. Whether you're in the Middle East, whether you're in your jail, whether you're a sportsman on television, God loves all of us. He knows all of us. You know, we can't hide from him. You know, some guys in scripture would say, where, no matter where I go, God will find me. God always knows where we are. And to me, that's wow. Now, that's God's heart. That's God's Father heart. And it's something to know that when we worship God, when we pray to God, when we speak to God our Father, that we should know this is his character. He isn't quick to be angry. He loves us so much. He loves us unconditionally. And that's part of the thing that I want you guys to leave with. That when you leave, that you know this is the Daddy God that we do serve. You know? Yes, there will be the judgment and things like that, but that's not what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about God's mercy and God's love towards us. Now, let's go and read a few more examples. Let's read from Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because his great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. You know, it says, it starts with, but God, who is rich in mercy. It means there's a lot of mercy in God. And he loved us since the beginning. You know, when we were dead in trespasses. You know, he already loved us. And then when we come into his kingdom, he still loves us. And that's amazing. It's the way that God loves his children. If we go on and we read, and this is one of my favorite psalms. It's one of my favorite scriptures now for a few years. A lot of times in my life when it was difficult times or, you know, I remember one day we went on a hiking trail, and the one older person read this, the morning, and it really blessed me. And since then, I almost decided this is one of my favorite scriptures. It's Psalm 103, because that's a sermon on its own. I'm going to read to you from verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. Now you see, God is saying that at the end, he knows who we are. How many of us haven't done, sometimes we have sinned, we've done something terribly wrong, and we go to God and we say, God, I'm never going to sin again, I'm never going to do this again, please help me not to do it, I'm going to repent, and you fast for a day and everything. And then God is probably sitting there, and he's thinking, my child, what are you trying to do? Because just 2 days, or a week, or two, a month later, you just do the same thing again. Have any one of you experienced something like that? Because God knows our frame. It says he knows that we are dust. Now, the author of this is King David. And I think King David knew what he was talking about. Because he stood really in an awesome relationship with God. But also, and Scripture says he was a man after God's heart. So he had really had that relationship with God. And we can learn a lot from King David's life. But also, when King David sinned, sometimes he really did it good. So he knew about repenting as well. You see? I want us to break it up just a little bit and just to go through it from the top again. I already said, we talked about the Lord is merciful and gracious. Slow to anger, we already talked about, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. Now, there's another thing that we should learn from that. If God doesn't keep his anger forever, and he forgives, and he removes our sins as far as the east is from the west, what should we do? You know? Sometimes we battle with forgiveness for days or weeks or months, some people even for years, where it just doesn't want to let that thing go because someone has wronged you. And it isn't easy, you know, bad things happen, you can read in the media, and it's tough sometimes to forgive people. But God doesn't keep our trespasses to us always, you know, he forgives it. And that's so beautiful. He hasn't dealt with us according to our sins. You know, now a few weeks ago we said in healthy parenting, you should really discipline your kids fast. Now praise God, he doesn't discipline us that so fast. Because otherwise, immediately after we sinned, we should have probably received some kind of punishment. But be quick to repent, it's for your own benefit. And then it says, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. Now that we can connect to that first scripture again. You know, it's important to see that those who fear him, it isn't, you know, those people, we must also remember, even though God is loving and full of mercy, he's still God. We mustn't be casual with him, you know. We should worship him for the God and the Father that he is. And it's important, it's scripture says, if you fear him, that's a place where we stand, where we really, how do we say that? You know, where you really are in a position or a place where you know how big God is and how mighty his works are. You know what God has done for you. And if your heart, if your attitude are right towards God, then he will forgive you always. And then it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. And again, then he end off and says, you know, because he knows our frame. He knows that we are dust. And that means God knew since the beginning, Adam and Eve got things wrong. And so, as I said so many times, we want to go to God and make this covenant with him. And, you know, I remember I think it's still at high school or sometimes, you know, and I would tell God, but I'll never do this again. And then it doesn't, you know, my word wasn't strong enough. I messed up again, you know. But God knows that. And even though we do that, he still loves us. Now, if you take it to our own lives, and we try to teach our children not to do this or that, you know, they don't get it right the first time. They don't. None of us do, you know. It takes, you know, we really need to teach our children to get something right. And then you must tell him why it's important to do something right and not wrong. It's really something that we should learn. Then, if we go on to Isaiah 63 verse 9, I'm going to read to you from verse 7. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us and the great goodness towards the house of Israel. Now that's all of us. It's all of us. All of us are the house of Israel. Which he has bestowed on them according to their mercies, according to the multitude of his loving kindness. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not lie. So he became a savior for them. And then in verse 9, which is the part I actually want to read, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. Now that means, if your child gets hurt, I remember my dad told it always, when we got hurt, you fell out of a tree, you hurt your arm, you fell off your bicycle. And my dad always told us, when we got hurt, he's hurting as well. And you know, God is the same. It says, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. So the things that the people did, God felt it. He doesn't have a heart of stone. God doesn't have a heart of stone. So the things that we do, the things that we go through, God knows about it. And this is something for some of you this morning. You know, you think, maybe you feel that you're battling with your own problems, your own challenges, the own things in your life. But God knows about all of it. Maybe he's allowing it. Maybe he's allowing some of the challenges that you go through that you can learn something, you know. But God hasn't left you. God haven't just deserted you or anything. That's not the character of God. He stays committed to his people. But it's important that we know that if we feel something, God can feel it as well, because that's what the scripture says. That's the Father's heart of God. He's a good God. He wants, God says, in scripture it says, his thoughts towards us are good. You know, he's not standing there or sitting there waiting for us just to do something wrong that he can punish us or anything like that. That's not God's heart. He's a merciful Father. Now then we can ask ourselves the question this morning, how merciful are we? You know, how much mercy do we have towards each other in the church, outside the church, in your family, at home? Because if, as I said earlier, if God has got so much mercy in his heart and in his character, then we should really trust him for more of that in our own lives. Because I think that most of us aren't at the place where God is. We can just grow in that. Now, we can say that's God has a lot of compassion towards his people. If we read in Matthew 9, verse 36, it said, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like a sheep not having a shepherd. Now, to have compassion towards his people, God has got that heart, you know. He sent Jesus to be the good shepherd, so that all of us can have life and life in abundance, you know. That we shouldn't go astray, you know. That he should guide us. God gave us the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us into all truth. But that's his heart. That's what I want you guys to see this morning. The heart of our Father. The heart of God. We can go on. I want to read to you from Luke 6, verse 35. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father is also merciful. So if you want it in one scripture, there it is. Scripture says, God is merciful and so should we be. You know, that thing about compassion, we can talk a lot about that. Jesus had that compassion for the people. And most of us, you know, usually in the world, when you don't know Christ yet, we are rather selfish. You know, you want to build your own little kingdom, collect a lot of money, have a big house, you know, make sure you are safe in life and things like that. But you know, as soon as we come into the kingdom of God, our hearts starts to change, our attitudes start to change, and then you start to have compassion towards other people. And that is why Jesus said we must make disciples of people, because when you disciple people, you'll usually be discipling someone that's younger than you, and you will see, but that person, from your heart, you'll see, but this person must still learn this or that. You know, we talk a lot about going with a lot of rules and regulations to God. And you'll discern those things and you'll teach that person, you know, how to worship, how to pray. Why do we do this? How do we do that? You know, and that is when you have that heart of compassion that Jesus had for the people. If we read from Matthew 18, verse 33, And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant, as I had mercy on you? And in the anger his master delivered him to the jailers, until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you, if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Now this is the parable, Jesus is speaking here about the parable of the unforgiving servant. You know, and what happened there is that there was this one servant who really, really had a lot of debt. You know, he owed the king a lot of money. And then he came before the king and he really asked for mercy. He asked if the king can really excuse him and give him some more time to pay his debts, you know. And then the king said, yes, I will give it to you. And then he went out there. So the king, in a sense, gave him mercy. The king gave him forgiveness. And then he went out and then he saw someone who was owing him a small amount of money. And then he grabbed that guy and he told him he must pay him right now and stuff. And that is where that first part comes in, and it says, and should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And the thing is, what we can learn from this is God have mercy on us. So we should have mercy on the people around us. Our friends, our husbands, our wives, the people we work with. You know, sometimes the devil likes to get us to a place where we can think in a scenario like, yes, but God, you don't know what the people are like that I work with. They are ungodly and they swear and they drink and they use your name in a foul manner and so many things. And we always, but that's not God. He loved us. That first scripture said that even when we were transgressors, you know, God already loved us unconditionally. So sometimes we want to make all that excuses why it's okay for us to not have mercy towards the people. And you know, if you're a Christian and you stand up and maybe they'll laugh at you and say, but you're praying again at lunchtime, wah wah wah, or you're fasting again, look what you are looking like, or in something like that. You know, the world isn't soft on us, you know. I said in the beginning, we can come here, we aren't persecuted, our cars aren't thrown with stones, you know, the church aren't burnt down or anything. You know, we've got still a lot of things that are really in our favor that our brothers and sisters around the world doesn't have. You know, if you go and watch movies of the underground church in China, how they do things, you must see them worship. It's for hours and hours on end because they know how precious the things is that they have to have Jesus Christ. Now, for us, it's so freely available. You know, and sometimes we kind of get a bit casual with that. But we shouldn't. Then I want to start to end off. I want to read to you from James 2, verse 12 to 13. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. I'm going to read it again. So speak and so act as to those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. So it says, if you haven't shown mercy, then no mercy is going to be shown to you, you know. And that's something, it's rather, it can be a bit intimidating. But God isn't saying that to scare us. He's just saying it to help us, you know. He's got all that mercy towards us, and so should we. And then it ends off by saying mercy triumphs over judgment. Because the mercy that God has, at the end of the day, will overcome the judgment. Because if you are the righteous before God, if you are, through Jesus Christ, reconciled to God the Father, you know, then you don't have to fear judgment. Then you don't have to fear those things that you have done in the past. You've got a clean slate, you know. God has removed those sins of you, of all of us, as far as the east is from the west. That's a good place to say amen, you know. It's really something. Now, the thing that I want us as a church, I really believe that God is, if we look at the road that God is walking with us the last month or two, and the things that He's teaching us, God really wants to see this, that we should see what His heart is like. You know, as I said, you can go and read those 269 scriptures that God is referring to mercy. You know, to mercy, to His loving kindness. You know, how slow He is to anger. So on the first side, He's telling us who He is. And then the second part is, we have to apply it to our own lives, guys. We really have to live that out. That other people can see, okay, well, this guy's bumped into my car, but I'll forgive him, you know. And that's not easy. There's a lot of difficult things in life that we are constantly challenged with. But this is the heart of this morning's sermon, And I really believe that it's something that God wants us to click. Before, if when we come into to worship before God, or when we pray, or when we ask something, that we should know that the whole world, the whole universe belongs to God. He's our Father, He's our Daddy God, and that is His heart towards us. You know, and it's so, we're going to have communion right now while the worship team is going to come up to the stage this morning. And the beautiful thing is, while we're going to have communion, I want you really in your heart to think about the sermon this morning. Because the beautiful thing is that God gave Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, in whom He was well pleased. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, you know, so that was the atonement, you know, so that we can be reconciled to God. It was God's heart from the beginning, as we said last week, to tabernacle with His people. God, in the Old Testament and in the New, He always wanted to be among His people. He doesn't want to be a distant God. You know, there was one guy there, and he's a plumber, and he came to our house yesterday because we had problems with our shower. But he's also a born-again Christian, spirit-filled, and the man, he's got a zeal in his heart. You know, he just wants to, when he discovered I'm a pastor, he just wanted to speak to me. And I think he probably stayed there for 2 hours yesterday while the everything was finished. And he just wanted to talk, and he was so excited. He only in 2008, he gave his heart to God. You know, and he's got all this things in his heart. He's so excited about God, and I almost just said yes and no and awesome, and you know, he was just talking, and I could see there's something burning in his heart, you know. And I actually wanted to say something now, but I forgot it. But it was something about God's heart that I could see this man discovered. And at the end, when he left, he said, "No, but he wants to invite me and my wife, and we should braai sometime at their house." And you know, it was so beautiful for me to see that this man, that he was really, oh, it was just beautiful to see the zeal in his heart, you know, and the things that he have discovered. And he asked me a lot of questions, you know, things that, do you think this or do you think that? And then I just shared with him what I felt in my heart. But it was so beautiful, and he gave his testimony about, you know, what he was like before he became saved. You know, and he was a rugged guy, he was a rough diamond, you see. But as we are going to have communion this morning, you know, that guy, I could see he knew what Jesus did on the cross for him. He knew he was reconciled to God. He knew he was a new person, you see. And that is why Jesus said we should remember what He did for us. So I'm going to ask you guys, the worship team is going to start to worship now slowly. Then I'm going to ask you guys from the back just to walk in a circle. Then you'll see there's the wine and there's the bread. And then all of you, I'm not going to this morning, we're not all going to have communion together. But as soon as you've got the bread and the wine, and we're going to worship God now for who He is. Sometime in your own time, you just thank God for His body that was broken, for His blood that was shed, so we could be free. Okay, so I want to ask you, you can start there when I'm finished, that's at the back, and then we're going to worship God together now. And then in your own heart, in your own time, just thank God for those things in your life. And then we will end off together. Amen.
Lord, I lift Your name.